Let's talk to Dr. Miriam Grossman, who joins the panel now. Miriam, hello.
Good afternoon.
Well, even if references to loving relationships and mature decision-making, you know, are not emphasised in the sex ed syllabus or the classroom resources that you've seen, are you sure that sex education messages are not already, Miriam, being framed in this way by those teaching it? I mean, teachers aren't silly. They are real. They realise consequences, don't they?
Well, one would hope so. What I'm saying, though, and this was, I was actually mischaracterized in the article in the New Zealand Herald this morning, unfortunately. My complaint about your sex education, like sex education in my country, is that there is critical medical information that is not being provided to your young people. And by that, I mean things like the association between oral sex and throat cancer. This is something that's been well established. We know that people who have more than five oral sex partners in their lifetimes are more likely to have a very serious form of throat cancer. This is just one among many, many examples of facts, biological, medically accurate facts that are life and death, that are withheld from your young people. So when organizations like Family Planning state that they have the health of young people as their priority and that they want to give them all the information they need so that kids can be fully informed, I would challenge them and ask, why are they not giving them this piece of information?
All right, okay. We know the outcomes of, you know, unguarded sex, and we know about STIs and HPV and, as you say, throat cancer. But nevertheless, the proponents of sex education say they're doing it in order to obviate these problems for young men and women, that the more young men and women know and are taught well about, the better the outcomes. So are you disputing that per se?
Well, I'm saying on the one hand, they have too much of one type of information, which is the celebrating sexuality and explaining everything in graphic detail. They have too much of that, and they have too little of the consequence end of it, and they have too little of the real science information. When I go around lecturing students and high school students in college, they're so grateful to me that I've presented these facts to them, for example, how young women are more vulnerable than men. Girls are much more often going to suffer from the consequences of early sexual behavior than guys are. That's something that they need to know. This is not being done by your Family Planning Association. They may be claiming to do all this, but if you look at the material that's created for young people, and that is key, you cannot just look at the policy statements and the promises that are made. You have to actually go online and look at the websites like theword.org, NZ, and rainbowyouth.org. These are the websites that kids are being sent to by Family Planning. Take a look, and it will shock you what's being said there.
Yeah, but are you calling, Miriam, for better sex education, or in other words, sex education taught better, or are you siding with, for example, some of the papers in the British Medical Journal, which have found that by and large, sex education is not very effective, particularly for young men, about which opinions differ, but I mean, there have been studies saying that. What is your exact position on what you teach young people?
All right. Well, I believe that optimally this material should be taught at home, and that we should be helping parents to do a good job at this. But of course, there's always going to be families in which that's not going to happen for whatever reason. So school-taught sex education should be an option. And I think the family should decide where their child is going to be taught. Or it can be a combination of both. But I certainly think, of course, kids need to be taught about sex and about, understanding the anatomy and the physiology and the dangers and all the reasons. In this day and age, I mean, things are very different than they were a few decades ago. Very different. We're living in a different world. And groups like Family Planning, in my country called Planned Parenthood, are still working from from guidelines, from a framework that's now 30, 40 years old.
Yeah, but Miriam, we are living in a different world, and some of those family situations you talk about are not the nice old nuclear family. They're not optimal at all, and presumably some of the young people from those families who would be indifferent to teaching their own children about sex education are at the most risk, so the schools have got to do the job, don't they?
Oh, I have nothing, you misunderstand. I have absolutely nothing against schools doing this. It just needs to be truly a message of health and not a message celebrating sex, which is what it is at this point.
Yeah, and we know some of that's gone on in Britain with some of the sex education programs there. What about the idea of telling, were you misrepresented about the idea of telling young people, listen, wait till you're a lot older, go for one life partner, or can you explain what your position is on this?
Well, of course, from a medical point of view, look at any other medical issue, diet, exercise, sunscreen, tanning salons. You know, we always present an ideal to people. Whether or not we feel they're going to follow that advice is a different thing. We always present an ideal to strive toward. And in this area as well, we should be consistent. Why do we have a double standard here and we're saying, well, let's be realistic? Although I want to underscore that your sex educators are not saying that. They're actually saying sexual behavior during adolescence is healthy.
All right. Thank you, Miriam. Dr. Miriam Grossman.